This is the beginning of our Lord's public life, as Luke tells it to us. This announcement in his hometown, his new hometown anyway, this is it. All that God has promised is now going to start to unfold. And he begins with this, if you will, fifth servant song about the servant anointed to preach the good news. Because we're reaching the climax in the letter of John, I'm going to spend most of the time looking at this passage, which is so very important. The part we have in our text goes from chapter 4, verse 19, to chapter 5, verse 4. And they stop there because they want to make it very dramatic what they're going to say tomorrow. Tune in. In fact, you could look it up maybe already. Coming through water and blood, which is the climax. You see, in this letter, there's three times, as I mentioned, you have everyone who. Everyone who does justice is born of God. Everyone who loves is born of God. And this time we have everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Now this is the climax, and you may wonder, particularly in John, why the climax is faith, not love. Actually, what he's been doing, he started off with faith and love, and then darkness. And then faith and love getting closer, and darkness. Now the third time, he's going to do faith and love, as they are two sides of one spiritual move. And there's no more talk about darkness. And the third time around. And this is what we're beginning. Actually, we began it the other day. Chapter 4, starting about verse 6. So he says here, we love because he first loved us. What does that mean? He loved us. What did he do? Well, he changed us by his act of love on the cross, huh? And so, the reality is that the gift of salvation, in its heart, is the life of God within us, which is the source and spring of all our activity insofar as we are living by faith. So we love because the Spirit of God, the life of God, is in us. And as he's already told us, God is love. So the power by which we love is God. The access we have to that is through faith. So you see, faith is not like something we just sort of have and do. It's something that grows because, you see, it's the light of God in us. And so he says, you see, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Because the love of God is not in him. It's not just that, you know, he's not behaving himself, which is true, but that what he's claiming is absolutely false. Because if he loves God, it's because God's love is in him, moving him, and he's surrendering to that. But that love by which he surrenders to the movement of God extends to all the brethren, particularly those of the household of faith, but to everybody. So if you're claiming, I have this movement of God in me, carrying me back to the Father, and you hate your brother, you're a liar. There's no love of God in you. You might have a nice emotional feeling for somebody, but that's not the same. This is a divine life and movement in us. So the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen, God whom he has not seen, he cannot love. And this is the commandment that we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. It's a should, but you see, it's a should like if you drop a golf ball off the top of a building, it should fall down. That's the way it's going to happen. And so then he goes on now to this beginning of this joining, where faith and love are two aspects of one divine reality, the life of God in us, as we return to the Father. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. This is the third of these everyone texts I've been talking about. What's the belief? That Jesus is the Christ. Or perhaps that Jesus is the Christ. This is the one we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. Jesus is the one. And everyone who loves the begetter also loves the one begotten of him. If Jesus, you see, is the Christ, and then we are born of God, then if I say I love God, I love everything born of God, including all of you. In this we know, so okay, now I'm ready. I'm going to love all the children of God. How am I going to do it? In this we know that we love the children of God. Hold your breath, right? How do we know that? When we love God and carry out his commandments. That's how. Because the first commandment he gives us is to love each other, but it's to obey God. And in that, you see, God can move through us. You know that beautiful text, oh my goodness, that beautiful text in John. The one who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he will be loved by my Father because he looks just like me. And I will love him. And I will show myself to him. For this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, because all that is begotten from God overcomes the world, no matter what it is. It's not stronger than the God who is in us. And this is the victory which overcame the world, our faith. This is interesting, because you see, in all the Johannine writings, this is the only time you have the noun, faith. He doesn't say you have to have faith. He says you have to believe. It's always an action of movement. Faith isn't like not like mashed potatoes. You have faith. See, it's movement. It's life. And this one time. And this is the victory which overcame the world. Our faith. Now you see, tomorrow we'll look a little bit more at that. But you see, what is faith then? Is yielding to this movement of God in us. You see, back to the Father. And clinging to the truth that we have by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's an action. That's why John never uses the noun, because then it sounds like it's a thing. No, faith is a life. It's a movement. And that's how we overcome all the obstacles in us and around us to being holy and being a saint and having the life of Christ in and us and radiating out from us. Our faith. For who is it that conquers the world, if not the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We cling to that and let that be the dominant reality in our spirit, and no matter what happens, we have overcome the world. Maybe tomorrow I'll bring down a marvelous definition of what the world means in John. At the heart of all that definition, as you're going to see, is this rejection, and refusal. That's the world. Rejection and refusal. And who's the prince of that? We all know.